Click the subscribe button, hit the bell icon to never miss another update.
Scientist Abu Rahan al-Biruni, Part 4. Shams al-Mal'ah Qaboos, the ruler of Gergan and Turbaristan, supported Abu Rahan. The relationship between the ruler and the scientist grew stronger. After years of this sponsorship, Gergan became in turmoil. In the wake of the turmoil, Qaboos was dethroned. Abu Rahan had only one option.
You must be scientist Abu Rahan, aren't you?
Yes, madam.
I'm one of the workers in the prince's palace. I know you well. I used to see you a lot there. But where are you heading for with this caravan?
I'm going back to where I came from.
Where did you come from?
From Khwarizm.
Why did you leave it?
For the sake of knowledge.
Then why are you going back now?
Also for the sake of knowledge.
Your answers are unusual and puzzling.
I can't achieve a progress in science unless I'm far from everything else. Which means that I need to devote myself to science alone. As you know, rulers in our time attend to scientists and support them. And this is what encourages me to move to kingdoms and cities. That I know that their rulers encourage and bring scientists near them. But this closeness may lead the scientists to sometimes get involved in politics. And that's when I find it proper to pull out peacefully, and to look for another place where I won't be occupied with anything but science.
Sir, there's nothing going on in your life other than seeking knowledge.
Definitely, madam. Definitely. Abu Rahan returned to Khwarizm, and there Prince Mamun was waiting for him. But he wasn't the same ruler of Khwarizm that Abu Rahan had left. It was his son, Mamun ibn Amun. Welcome, our eminent scientists. Thank you for the warm welcome, Your Majesty. That is the least thing that a scientist like you deserves. A scientist who promote the name of Khwarizm in every place he visits. You have the same name as your father, and I see that you are like him in your interest in science and attention to scientists. May Allah have mercy upon his soul. He have always told me that he was upset of your departure from Khwarizm, and he didn't mind because he knew that a scientist must move from one place to another in the search of more information and knowledge. It seems that there is something on your mind, Abu Rahan. May I ask you about something, Your Majesty? Ask whatever you want. How is the observatory that I had left? What's the matter, Your Majesty? The observatory isn't the same as how you left it, Abu Rahan. What happened? The number of scientists working in it has increased, and we've supplied it with more telescopes. Is that so? Yes, your assistants have made many discoveries from the day you left until today. I have big dreams regarding the progress of science in Khwarizm. On the top of these dreams is making the observatory larger and better. I won't find anyone as suitable as you to assign this matter to, Abu Rahan. You can depend on Allah the Almighty. Then you can depend on me, Your Majesty. Abu Rahan al-Biruni resumed his scientific activity. Once again in Khwarizm. He returned to researching, writing thesis, and authoring. And he met many prominent scientists in his time. Today we have a guest, Abu Rahan. Hello, Prince's guest. Introduce yourself, O scientist. My name is al-Hussein. Al-Hussein ibn Sina, Who? Benzina? Yes. That's me. Do you know him, Abu Rahan? I've heard a lot about him. And about his achievements in the medical field despite his young age. You know well, Biruni. I honestly follow your writings about astronomy and the movement of planets. That reaches me. It's great to meet you. As I have many questions that I want to ask you. So we're going to witness a debate between the two scientists. Are you ready, Abinzina? I'm rather looking forward to debating a great scientist like Abu Rahan. Start asking your questions, Abu Rahan. The debate between Abu Rahan and Abinzina begin. Whenever Abu Rahan asks a question, Abinzina answers him. He either agrees on the answer or objects on it. And thus the debate goes on. The seventh question is, if things expand by heat and contract by cold, it is normal that cups and bottles crack when we pour hot water in them, because they expand. But why do bottles crack and fracture when the water inside them freezes? Well, in order to clench my fist and constrict my palm, I need an empty space for the contraction to take place. But if this empty space doesn't exist, then it's impossible for this contraction to take place. Same happens to the bottles that crack when water freezes inside them. They do contract, but since the frozen water is converted to a solid mass, this hinders the contraction process and thus cracks appear. No! I think that if the reason behind the cracking is the absence of an empty space, the cracks would arise from inside the bottles. But what happens in our case is, the bottles crack from the outside just like what happens to them when they expand. Allow me ask you another question. Why does ice float on water, although it is harder than water? And is it supposed to be heavier than it? When water freezes, particles of air become trapped in it and prevent it from sinking. So there is air within the ice and snow, i.e. an empty space. Why don't the bottles apply pressure on the ice that they contain when they contract by cold, and compress it, and thus it will contract more by destroying the air space within it? You are right. This matter requires revision and verification. We'll have to continue this discussion of ours later. That's for sure. I'm pleased that we had this discussion, Abinzina. I'm more pleased than both of you, because two of the most important scientists in our time have joined my council. Look at this vast sky. The sky should be the limit of our ambition in science. Peace be upon you, Master Abu Rahan. Allah's peace, mercy, and blessings be upon you. I wanted to show you this map. I've illustrated in it the movement of the moon and its phases day by day throughout the year. I couldn't find anything like it, so I thought it may be useful. Perhaps it may help us to predict the time of solar eclipse and lunar eclipse. Good idea, my son! Were you among those who worked in the old observatory? Don't you remember me, Master? Pardon me, my son. You're still young. And you must have been a kid when I left Khwarizm. May you remind me of yourself? He's my son, O eminent scientist. Who? The janitor of the old observatory. Yes, that's me. Masha'Allah, is this your son who... Yes, this is him. Thank you for letting me include him to the scientists' team in the observatory. I'm happy to see you interested in knowledge to such an extent, my son. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless you for us, scientists, so that you'll be able to support more and more knowledge seekers. Abu Rahan's activity has increased since he returned to Khwarizm, and this time his place was the garden of the ruler's palace. Would you kindly tell me what you are doing, Abu Rahan? It's an important scientific work. Wait for a few days and you'll see for yourself. It looks like an artwork to me. A dome built of stones and mud, its diameter is approximately 4 meters. What kind of science is here? You'll know soon, Your Majesty. I'm beginning to understand. This is a world map, isn't it? But this is not all. Tomorrow I'll tell you what I'm thinking. And you'll see for yourself with your own eyes. What are these lines, Abu Rahan? They are longitudes and latitudes. And they help us to know a lot about Earth, such as forecasts, navigation maps, and directions, etc. You are an expert in the matters of space and Earth. How profound your knowledge is, Abu Rahan. There is something that I still need to achieve, Your Majesty. Abu Rahan had big dreams regarding science, but he didn't have the accessibility to things that we've in our current time. Yet he insisted on achieving what he was aspired for. Will he be able to achieve his dream? Especially after the political events that was about to happen in Khwarizm.